The DeFalco Files is an entertainment-based program. Some memories of certain events might be fuzzy. All opinions are that of the host. Content might not be appropriate for children and some adults. Listener discretion is advised. And remember, the truth is here. Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting presents The DeFalco Files with FSW owner Joe DeFalco and your host, Matt Michaels.
Hey everybody, it's Matt Michaels here on The DeFalco Files with the FSW, Future Stars Wrestling owner and creator, Mr. Joe DeFalco. Joe, how you doing today?
Oh, you know, trying to survive the pandemic. You know, trying to run a business when we literally can't do many things. So, pretty difficult.
We're also joined by the team of Sky High, Robbie Litt, and Mondo Rocks. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, good. Just trying to survive, just being stuck at home.
What has this been like, Joe? You know, you said trying to keep the business, afloat, trying to keep it surviving. When these shutdowns kind of are ebbing and flowing, it's like all of a sudden you shut down, and then you have to reopen, and you have to shut down again. What's the greatest headache out of all of that?
Well, you know, it's just trying to get that consistency back. You know, for a little while we were doing the private shows, the birthday parties, things like that, just trying to stay busy. But then all of a sudden, you know, there's new restrictions and new stuff. And it's like, even now at training, like everybody has to wear a mask. And, you know, I'm uncomfortable wearing a mask just walking around. So imagine actually trying to do physical activities, you know. In reality, it's like, well, you know, you really shouldn't be doing it. And it's like, well, who's paying the bills?
Yeah.
You know, people aren't going to pay to train if they can't train.
Yeah.
And the landlord gave us a break when everything was shut down. Everything isn't shut down anymore. So, but it's picking and choosing what you can do and what you can't do. So, you know, I just saw today the MGM, they shut down the shows again because, you know, in some cases, comedy shows, 25%, they wish they got 25%. So if 25 people go to a comedy show, it's all right. But you're not going to have David Copperfield play in front of 50 people.
Right.
You know, it just isn't cost effective. And, you know, it's the same thing what we're trying to do. We were trying to do the TV show and trying to, you know, do what they said, you know, limit everything. You know, when it was 50 people, we did 50 people. You know, when it got bumped a little bit, we did that. Then all of a sudden it was like, you got to wear your mask. And it's like, well, we do wear our masks. You have to wear your mask no matter where you go. I can't walk into Smith's and say, no, I'm not wearing my mask. You know what I mean? And it's like the numbers are still rising. And we've had a handful of people, from FSW, maybe 10, 12 that have gotten COVID. And in most cases, it was maybe the flu type. Like everybody's been fine. You know, everybody within a 2 or 3 week, you know, time frame came back. So it's like, you know, I understand it's deadly to some people. But, man, it seems to be, especially in the younger community, that most of them, you know, have a cold and they move on, and you know, 10, 12 days later they're testing negative.
Right.
But you know, we're shutting down an entire economy that we base everything on, this economy. And you know, most people can't just go work 9-to-5 jobs in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So, you know, so it's extremely frustrating knowing that A, we can't have wrestling shows. B, we're limiting training. We, you know, recently we took another week off, probably around Christmas, do the same thing. So instead of taking off one or two days, we're now not getting income for entire weeks at a time.
Yeah.
And, you know, governor can say whatever he wants, and he's trying to stem the tide. Well, all I remember is in June and July and August, when we were forced to wear a mask, the numbers went up in September, October, November. There was far less stuff going on 6 months ago, you know, and now there's way more restrictions right now, and the numbers are going up for, you know, what seems to be in most cases, you have a flu, you have a cold, you have a sickness, and in a week or two, you're fine.
Yeah.
So, you know, I get it's a difficult way to go, but we have to live lives. We have to move on. People have to earn money. You know, people have to pay bills. You know, unemployment ain't kicking back to $600 a week anymore.
Right.
Shit, I'll stay home for 24 weeks if more if they want to kick me back that.
Yeah.
But they don't. So how are people going to survive on $250 a week?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And for you guys, you know, being the physical activity that you have to do, the in-ring work that you have to do, the development you have to do, how difficult is it for you two being wrestlers and trying to maintain and grow, because you guys are still young, you guys are still growing in an atmosphere that is kind of like that old game that we used to play on the school ground, red light, green light. It's like red light, stop, green light, go. And it's just stop and go. How have you guys been affected?
Well, so we learned from the first time, because when everything got shut down and everything like that, it really sucked. And, you know, the gyms were closed and, you know, tend to get a little lazy there. And then the show started picking up and, you know, was completely out of shape, was not ready and everything like that. So it was like, dang, that was an eye opener, you know, just because you got to always be ready. So this time around, even though shows are, you know, there's no shows right now at the moment, you know, just been working out as much as we can, going to the gym, going for runs, trying to get as much training as we can, just so next time shows start around, we're more than ready.
Yeah.
As opposed to last time when, you know, came back a little heavier set.
Oh, I thought it was muscle.
That was that quarantine thick.
Yeah. Quarantine thick. I like that term. Robbie, when you think of... you know, your in-ring skills, you are an amazing athlete, but I know that you're kind of the quiet one, to say the least. For you during something like this, does this give you time? Have you been trying to, you know, practice doing your character, doing promos, and just kind of getting that work in where you don't have to do anything physical right now, but you can start to feel more comfortable and develop more of your persona? Is that something you've thought about working on?
Yes, for sure. You know, during the quarantine, we have more time to practice, you know, our out-of-ring stuff, like our promos and stuff, but really been doing like a lot of like research, and, you know, Mondo and a few of our other buddies helped me out a lot with the promos.
Awesome. I'd love to hear that, because, you know, I think that one of the things that people forget is when you get into pro wrestling, a lot of times you see the people with, they have personality, tons and tons of it, but they can't, you know, do a simple drop kick or a headlock. So,
yeah.
You know, I'd love to hear that you're working on it and you're concentrated on it. When you guys started, who started first? Mondo, did you start first, or Robbie, did you start first in terms of, you know, training to become a wrestler?
I believe Mondo started first.
And what was that like, Mondo? When did you decide to start training, and when did you go to FSW first and foremost for training?
Yeah, because when I first like started thinking about joining pro wrestling, because me and Robbie did amateurs when we were young for good decade. But once I decided pro wrestle, all we had in Albuquerque, New Mexico was like backyard training. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I joined one of those and started training in the backyard.
With Mosh Pit Mike or what?
Yeah. Yeah, with Mosh Pit.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even know that.
I thought you did. But yeah, I was training with Mosh Pit Mike, and then I found the schools in Vegas, and I couldn't even believe that was like a real thing. I didn't know you could just join a school. So when I flew out here to Vegas to check them out, I was like, oh my God, I saw one of the FSW Samstown shows, and I like blew my mind. I didn't even know it could be, the production could be done this way on this level. So then that's when I packed all my crap and just moved my job.
And then why'd you go to Sinbodies then?
Well, that was the first one I found right away off the bat. I found the Snake Pit, and then I heard of FSW that way.
What was the Snake Pit like when you started? Who was it Sin that was primarily teaching, or were there other guys outside of, you know, the name guys teaching as well?
We kind of had a rotation of like D'Lo on like, I think like Tuesdays and Thursdays, and Sin on Mondays and Wednesdays, and like Jake the Snake would pop in every now and then. But it was really just a rotation of those three. Okay. A lot of Sin though, mostly Sin. And there wasn't a lot of people there. Like, there was like five of us. So wow. We were in the ring from beginning of training to the end of training, like the entire time. And it was cool, but at the same time, it was kind of rough. Jake's very old school, and we don't have that kind of environment anymore. So, but it was cool. It was a learning experience.
Well, you know, and speaking of that, and I, you know, my experience was old school as well. Do you think in a sense that type of training toughened you up a little bit more?
Oh, definitely. I mean, yeah, he was hard on us, but then sometimes I don't think like a lot of our coaches realized, like when we did like sports as kids and growing up in high school and stuff like that, our coaches were way harder on us. Like they said things to us that I can't even repeat. You know what I mean? So.
Well, and Joe, let me ask you this. When it comes to the FSW classes and it comes to training nowadays, do you think that it is beneficial that the trainers can't be as harsh or, you know, like old school coaches were to us? Or in some ways, does that not prepare the students for the realities of how tough this business is? Because you got to have thick skin if you're planning to be a professional wrestler.
Well, yeah, the biggest issue with the younger wrestlers are they're very, very, I guess the best word for that is maybe they're too touchy-feely type, to where, you know, you say something to them and, you know, they kind of cringe about it. Like nobody wants to hear negative, you know, anything negative about what they're doing. And for people to improve and get better, they need to improve and get better on the things that they are lacking.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you do a really cool drop kick, well, that's great. Do the cool drop kick. But if your punches and kicks look like shit, you need to be told that they look like shit. You know, when you go to the trainers, it's a combination of both ways, because, you know, in the past, many trainers have been known to take some liberties.
Yeah.
And, you know, when they look at somebody that they maybe didn't care for, or they didn't feel they had the ability, they might try to run them out.
Yeah.
And the business, you know, we need to bring an income. The trainer wants to be paid. And, you know, if you only keep Kevin Cross and Chris Bay around and you try to run out anybody who may be a little slower at getting it and figuring it out, you know, because it takes time.
Yeah.
You know, and some people move along really quick and some people move along really slow, you know. And with the trainers, they need to be stern. But I have no problem with somebody like Cody's known to kind of blow up here and there, you know, like, hey, he expects you to do things the right way.
Right.
And if you're not doing things the right way, because you're not listening, that becomes a problem. If you're not doing something the right way because you're struggling to do it, he's the nicest guy in the world to try to help you get there.
Right.
But he's got to feel that you want to be as good as you can be. And we got a lot of students, you know, obviously a little less now over the last month or two because of everything that's going down. You know, there's so much competition. There's so much, you know, everybody's kind of friendly, but at the end of the day, people are battling for spots on shows. And like with Sky High being in a tag team, we got a lot of good tag teams. We got a lot of jockeying for positions of where you're going to be at. You know, I remember probably a year ago, maybe, you know, with this pandemic, you don't know time frames anymore. But maybe a year or two ago, you know, they were starting to rise the ranks. And I remember at the school, they had a match with the Bonus Boys. And that was kind of the turning point because they were getting a lot of praise from people. Hey, Sky High. Hey, Sky High. And they pretty much shit the bed against the Bonus Boys. Now, that's okay because you're going to shit the bed. I've seen Kenny King, Brian Cage, Eli Drake at Silverton and Samstown shit the bed. That's going to happen. It's how you react after that. And I would put these two guys up as probably over that next year being two of the most improved guys. Because Robbie was out with an injury. Mondo got to work some of the singles stuff. And he had some success working the singles stuff. And, you know, we were calling Robbie Marty Jannetty at that point. You know what I mean? When he comes back, it's like Mondo's – you know, really, you know, seemed to have stepped it up. He worked some really solid guys. He was in the Limitless tournament. And, you know, he got to see what it was like to work, you know, top-end guys. And when Robbie came back, I'll be honest, he struggled a little bit, you know. And, again, he was out for a while. But Mondo had been putting in the time. He was able to train. He was getting matches. And Mondo kind of – like, initially, I never looked at them like, oh, yeah, Mondo's way better than Robbie. Right. I looked at them, they were pretty similar. Then when Robbie came back and after Mondo's singles run, it was kind of like, hey, what are we going to do with these guys? You know, Robbie seems to be a little bit underneath. But he ended up stepping up, and then we added their valet to the mix. And we kind of had a new age Hardy Boys, you know, with Lita, as she goes by Alita. No relation. And you know, they then found a niche. Instead of just being a team wrestling matches and trying to improve, they were getting involved in stuff, and they were becoming, you know, a tag team to look out for, you know, in the future. You know, in smaller companies, they're probably, you know, capable of being tag team champions.
Right.
Unfortunately, in FSW, you know, there's still a lot of guys that are above them because they've been doing it for 6, 8, 10, 12 years, you know, in the business. But, you know, they're in a solid position to where now, you know, there's a mix of tag teams and, you know, they're ahead of a lot of them.
Robbie, when you started training, what was your goal? Did you want to follow Mondo out here? You know, how close were you guys before you started training? And was this, you know, something that you were looking to do in your life? Because as Mondo said, you guys did both grapple on the mat, which to me has always been one of my favorite things. I loved mat wrestling as a, you know, a kid, high school student. So was that something that you saw in your future, or did it take you a little while to come around and go, hey, maybe I'm going to try this?
I always wanted to be a pro wrestler, me and Mondo. I started training with him in Albuquerque and, you know, the backyard with Mosh Pit as well. Yeah, it's just something I always wanted to do, but I never thought it was possible, really, until Mondo told me, hey, there's these guys, they're training pro wrestling, and then we moved to Las Vegas, and then he told me about the wrestling school that I should really go to.
What was your first impressions walking into a wrestling training school, having come from, you know, Mosh Pit's backyard into now, you know, a kind of a structured in-ring style? Was it, you know, a little different to adapt? And then at what point did, like, Sin, you know, figure out, hey, this guy's got talent, you know, what can we do to further you in terms of breaking that the shyness that you have and trying to match your talent to a potential character?
Well, stepping into like a wrestling training, like my first thought was like, this is a dream come true. Like, I've always wanted to be in the ring and, you know, pro wrestle.
What were your guys' first impressions of Joe when you finally met him? Either one of you guys.
Dead silence.
It was more like, oh, this is the Joe we hear a lot about. Joe. just he's the guy to go to. He's the one who runs the place, and let's try to impress him. And then, you know, the Bonus Boys match happened, and now I got to work our way back up. But
what you know, speaking of that, what was it like for you guys? What do you feel was the you know, the what were the things that you felt went wrong in that match that proved to you guys, your own selves, that you needed to work up to a level of those guys?
I take the blame for that. I kind of spaced out during the match. I was nervous and panicky, and I was still very new, and we were wrestling the Bonus Boys, and I was like, all right, my time. Robbie tagged me in. I got in there, and I forgot what I was going to do, and that was the end of the match right there. And I was like, dang, man, I really got to work on this stuff. Like, I thought, you know, because we were on a good flow up until then, you know what I mean? So that made me really have to sit back and like, all right, Mondo, let's take a breath, slow down, let's reevaluate these things.
Did you find, you know, when you were starting out and you were greener, was that something that when you got into your head, you found yourself, you know, missing this or, you know, just a little bit of, you know, missteps on that, that you had to find out how to be comfortable in the ring? How long did that take?
I want to say like a good, I want to say like year and a half to 2 years, because I remember I was during that singles run that I had when Robbie was hurt, I was in a match. And after my match, Chris Bay talked to me and he was like, he's like, do you feel like you belong out there? Because you don't look like you feel like you belong out there. And I was like, oh shit, like, dang, I'm radiating that energy. Wow. And he told me like when he wrestles, you know, he's having a good time out there and he's really himself. And that really woke me up. Like that really, really made me realize like, okay. And then that's when I got a lot more comfortable out there and I started being more myself and the crowd started getting behind it. And that really helped me get to that kind of level.
Joe, do you feel that you saw that in his singles run, that build of the confidence? Because one of the things I love about watching Mondo is he's found that that confidence when he walks through the curtain. He comes off now as, you know, he is a pro wrestler. Like, you don't look at him as like, oh, okay, he's a little, you know, he's a little green guy. You know, he has confidence now. Is that something that you saw, a change in his persona like that?
Well, yeah. If you look at them, look at their gear, look how they present themselves when they come out, you know, it's always the little things. You know, a guy who does a cool move and is doing it at 6 months in, 4 months in, 2 years in, you know, he might improve a little on the cool move, but he's still capable of doing that cool move.
Right.
But as we know, it's about getting the fans to emotionally invest into you. And now they come out, they're the matching crew, you know, with Alita there, you know, they're the pilots, she's the stewardess. They have a package now. Right. They're not just two guys going out there to wrestle. You know, they have, you know, what they're going to do when they get introduced. They understand, you know, pause at the ramp. You know, they get into the ring. They have a signature pose. It's stuff people can get behind, just like when, you know, a guy's calling for their finisher.
Right.
When, you know, Kevin Cross was going for the Doomsday Saito, he set it up for people to get behind it, and they knew when he did it what was going to happen. You know, I always was the biggest Bret Hart fan. Like, you knew the Bret Hart comeback. It was, yeah. You know, the setup. You know, you knew he was always going to go face first into the turnbuckle. You knew Ric Flair was going to go to the top rope and never move. You know, everybody has to have their niche. And sometimes their niche is a catchphrase or, you know, something they're going to say in a promo that people can get behind. Well, with Sky High, the epitome of them is, you know, high flyers. You know, they're pilots. You know, they took it to another level. You know, when they first started, yeah, they had the name. But what did it mean?
Right.
It didn't mean much. You know, they didn't have everything in place. Now they have everything in place. So now when you see their wrestling improve, you know, and now they got the valet and we protect her because, you know, but, you know, I was hoping she'd be on, but because, you know, she's been protected so much. Like, I'm curious as to how her feelings are toward not being used in a lot of singles matches herself.
Right.
You know, she's, you know, we protect her in six person tags. We protect her to where she's like Lita. She does, you know, a super cool move that, you know, as we did the popularity of the Unguided and we had that cinematic match, the only pop Sky High got was when Alita did the cool stuff. Because at that point, they were really getting behind Damian Drake and Matt Vandegrift.
Right.
And if she works in a regular match, I'm not sure she's able to keep up in an 8 to 10 minute match. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So right.
Where the level of what she's being presented as.
Right.
To fans, you know, she's a top talent. But we know she has, you know, a lot of work to do as a wrestler to get there.
Right.
And by putting her in as the valet and putting her in at different spots, it, you know, it could set things up down the line. Now with Maserati being the champion, for example, you know, this is a good spot, but she's been out a while. So it's like we need her to get back into the mix, get into that. But, you know, again, the idea is trying to protect her. You know, people were asking about, hey, well, what about her? And we have another younger girl that's gotten matches over the last few months that Alita didn't get. But that girl is brand new. She can go in and she can just get the experience by going right in there because nobody knows who she is. So it's the same issue when you bring in a guy who's 6'5", 280 pounds, but he's green as green can be. Well, what are you going to do? Have them get beat up by all these smaller guys and all these guys? You can only get that first impression once.
Right.
So at times, a bigger monster guy is going to be held off to be seen by the fans until we feel he's more than ready. The younger guys, once they start selling well enough and doing certain things, it's easy to put them in there as enhancement guys to try to make people look good. And you're able to feed them. You give them a little at a time. And unfortunately, the same thing goes with a girl that's been put in a valet position. So now she's much higher than she would be. She'd probably be here if she wasn't involved with them and she was just a wrestler.
Right.
She would have to climb the ranks as a wrestler. But now she's a known character, and, you know, and it worked out really well putting them together. So, you know, moving forward, you know, once we can get her back in the mix, you know, hopefully now, you know, we can now see what she can do, you know, as a singles wrestler. You know, there's a lot of good story to talk about with her. You know, she's got the Netflix thing that they did with her.
Right.
You know, she's a beauty pageant girl, you know, so there's a lot of stories, you know, and Mondo stays out of shape. Maybe she decides she doesn't want to hang out with Mondo anymore because, you know, he's not taking the fitness serious. You know what I'm saying? That could be a heel turn. Who knows what could happen down the line?
Hey, I'm getting jacked now.
you know, speaking of having her, what did you guys? How did it come about? Did you guys approach her? Who came up with the idea of? Was it Joe who came up with the idea of making her the valet?
Honestly, I'm not sure. Someone.
Yeah, no, I did. Yeah. People were talking about trying to get her into the mix, and I thought it would be a good idea because, again, she was still, you know, had a long way to go to be, you know, wrestling regularly on the shows. And as Sky High started to, you know, start to grow themselves, you know, I thought adding a piece to the puzzle would be something positive that could help them down the line.
Robbie, when you think about some of the matches you guys have had, what sticks out to you in terms of a team or teams that you guys have worked that has helped raise your guys' bar, raised your level? Are there any guys that stand out to you as, you know, teams that you absolutely, if you didn't wrestle those guys, you know, you guys wouldn't be where you are now?
Yeah, I'd say one that comes to mind right away is 1%.
Yeah.
The match we had with 1%, we learned a lot from that match. Death Proof. We also wrestled a Body Count one time. Thinking a 6-man. And yeah, those matches we learned a lot from, and we got like some good experience out of it.
They learned a lot from Graves beating them up.
Yeah. you know, that's a good point. What is it like for you guys? Because you guys are, you know, high flyers. You guys, you know, do a lot of work with guys like the Unguided, guys who are similar in size to you, but then getting to work guys as big and as, you know, stiff as Graves. What is that type of transition for you guys? Are you, you know, is it looking at the lineup sheet and going, oh fuck, all right, now we gotta get in with these guys? Or is it like, hell yeah, man, we can hang with these guys?
I'd say it's probably a little bit of both. Like, oh shoot, we got these guys, so we really have to step up our game. And then with the, like, the size difference, I think when we wrestle bigger guys, it makes us think a lot more. Because, you know, I could get a guy our size and just, like, scoop Simon, but, like, right, a big guy, you know, you gotta rope-a-dope him and...
Mondo, what do you feel on that?
Yeah, the pace is a lot slower when you work the bigger guys. It could be like intimidating because, of course, they're going to launch, especially when we're smaller, they're going to launch us across the ring. But at the same time, the pace is much slower, and it's really just us trying to break them down, you know, as opposed to the faster cruiserweight tag team matches we have. You know what I mean?
Sure. Joe, I don't know if I've ever asked you this question before. When do you get the idea of putting a tag team like Sky High in with those guys who are, you know, heavyweights, who are more experienced, like Graves and Hammerstone would be. Is it a nod towards the accomplishments that Sky High has had, that they get the opportunity to show what they can do against these guys? And have you ever used guys like, you know, Graves, for example, as a kind of like a lesson to put guys in place? Not saying Sky High in particular, but, you know, do you have to sometimes use a guy like that to, you know, maybe knock guys, you know, back down off their own pedestals?
No, I've never felt that that was necessary, even though Graves has come to me on many occasions. If he felt that there was somebody that needed that, I'm his guy, you know, he's my guy anytime I've needed it. And I haven't needed it. You know, guys that, you know, progress quickly, kind of falter off or complain and bitch. I've never been one to say, hey, you know what? I'm gonna get him. He's gonna get a lesson taught today, because right. You know, we expect professionalism from everybody. Now, Graves is not gonna take liberties on somebody, but he's gonna be stiff. You know what you get when you're going in, and you know what? He's gonna take it as well as he's gonna give it, and. You know, in the situation for Sky High being involved with Project Body Count, it was a combination of two things. It was establishing the faction, because I believe at that point, if it was a six-man, Gallo was probably part of the group at the time. And you want Project Body Count to look as strong as they can, but if they beat up, you know, three guys that are always getting their ass beat, well, it doesn't really mean much.
Right.
But putting in Sky High, I don't even know who was your partner in that match?
Macho Mouse.
Macho Mouse. There you go. So we basically put three guys in there that the crowd responded to.
Right.
You know, Macho Mouse, he had the goofy character. You're not going to confuse him with, you know, a Matt Classic, for example, but his character was way over. You know, we were able to do some good comedy spots, and we actually did Graves versus Macho Mouse, you know, also.
Right.
So the idea is they're beating popular guys. So despite the fact that there's a huge size advantage, you think Project Body Count's probably going to win, because at that point they were the tag team champions, I would imagine. Because if Gallo was there, that was when they had that little run. But the idea is also to see what Sky High can do.
Right.
You know, they're going to get a little something, something. They're not going to get a ton of stuff. It's not going to be a banger like if they wrestled the Suavecitos, for example, because they butt bangers. You know, it's different styles, different philosophies. You got to do different things, you know. Sometimes it's going to be baby face. Sometimes it's going to be heel.
Right.
You know, it's also a way of seeing how crowds react, because we have, especially now with they've only been able to do the smaller school shows, you know, sometimes people get a little nervous because, oh, this guy's getting over. He's supposed to be a heel. And it's like, yeah, but George Furman and the Chief and them, they've known this guy for 7 years. They're always going to cheer a Remy Marcel, for example.
Right.
You know, and they don't care that we're presenting them as a heel or a babyface. They like who they like, and that's what it is. And we have to, you know, go the route. You know, sure, there's certain people, you know, when Sepha turned babyface on Graves, we knew we were going to turn Sepha babyface because the crowd was getting behind him. But then we did the double turn later on with Graves and used the Sepha babyface turn to have Graves reunite with Hammerstone, who they've been apart for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, you need to see what the fans are doing, but you can't dictate everything you do based on what they're doing.
Let me ask you this, guys. You know, you guys have been two of the guys who will go out and, you know, wrestle for some of the other companies out here. How has it been for you guys in terms of your experience working with other companies versus working with FSW? And Joe, you can follow up on their answer on how you view them working with, you know, some of the other companies out here.
Well, at first, because when we first moved out to Vegas, we like found all these promotions and we're like, oh, let's try to get as much matches as possible. We're green, we're inexperienced. Let's try to play catch up. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So we started doing like pretty much all the promotions, which at the same time, we didn't realize what we were doing. We didn't realize that we were like oversaturating ourselves within the same city and stuff like that. And it was just a green mistake. Not, I don't want to say mistake because we did get a lot of experience, but it was just a green decision. And now we're really just focused because FSW has one of the best tag team rosters like in the West Coast.
Yeah.
So we're really happy being able to work all these tag teams. Like Unguided, for example, they're probably one of the best tag teams on the West Coast. So for us to be able to chase them and work with them, and me and Robbie try to get booked like in California, you know, places like that where we get to work other teams, and we usually just try to aim for a lot of really good promotions so we can get wrestle good tag matches against good wrestlers, and because it's better learning that way as opposed to we get booked somewhere, we wrestle some dude who's been wrestling for 10 years but trained for 3 and we risk getting hurt, like, yeah. You know what I mean? And we're just not in the mood for that. So
yeah, Joe, do you think that experience has helped them?
It always helps when you're younger and you're just trying to get matches under your belt. You know, you're 10, 20, 40 matches in, you're still babies when it comes to that. You know, my issues have always been exactly the same. You know, I'm pretty sure I took Robbie and Mondo into the office and gave them my thoughts because, you know, a lot of people hear different things. What I want to approve of, what am I going to do to you guys if you work somewhere else? And I've basically told everybody, I don't have issues with going out there and trying to get experience. But what I need from guys are, if I'm putting you in a good position, for example, Sky High's, you know, in that high B group at the moment. You know, you got the Unguided, you got the Bonus Boys, you know, Kenny and Shogun and Death Proof. You know, that's that top tier. And then we have that next tier that's really, really good. You know, you got, yeah, Sky High, you got Laz and Adriel, you got the Bad Bitches. You know, I joke so much about the Suavecitos, but for the time they're in this business, their wrestling ability, they've had some really good matches where they've had to put over people, and despite their brashness and their cockiness and never having a win yet, you know, they still work extremely hard and they want to be the best at what they can do. And my telling to Sky High was, I don't care where you work at all. I said, but when I put you in a good position and you're beating, say, Laz and Adriel, or you're beating this other tag team, when you go to another company locally and you're losing to teams that would be way underneath you and probably would struggle to get on our show, it doesn't help my brand that we're building as the top company in the Southwest, not the top company in Vegas. We already are.
Right.
So we need you to keep your value. It's like, you want to work there every show? That's great. But now the guys that are making FSW the priority, unfortunately, they are going to get priority. And if you're losing the teams that I wouldn't even book, well, then why would I put you over,
right,
our teams? You know what I mean? And it's like, yeah, you know, there's a few companies in town. Just don't work for every one. I always say, pick one of the others. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, there's two others that run or did run semi-regularly. Pick one. you know, pick two out of the three. If you don't want to pick us, that's cool. You know, there's been a few, and there's some, you know, there's a couple of guys that we used all the time that chose not to work for us moving forward. No big deal. You know, they had a good spot in FSW. They chose that they wanted to be elsewhere. You know, more power to them. You know, maybe instead of being the number four or five guy, they're the number one or two guy there, and they feel that that's important to them and not the growth of who they're getting to work, who they're in the ring with every day. And, you know, I'm passionate. I'm going to tell people what I think. You know, I probably told them in a little more, I guess the etiquette was probably less when I set them down, because there was a few of the guys that are at that mid-level to where they're on a lot of the shows now. And, you know, Sky, I can tell you that every show they're pretty much available for, they're booked on.
Yeah.
You know, there might be, you know, because of the TV that we tried to start doing, you know, there was a couple guys that maybe didn't make one show, or somebody was sick, or somebody was hurt, or whatever it is. But the idea was trying to, you know, function them. They, you know, they got involved a little bit with the Unguided, and then they moved on to, you know, because of an injury, there was a singles match with Adriel, and it kind of put, you know, Sky High with the Creature Feature.
Yeah.
And we were kind of working them. So they worked some singles. They worked some tag. You know, eventually we were hoping to do, you know, since they got Primo and Sky High's got Alita, that would, you know, we would do that six-person intergender match to where, again, it would give her the opportunity, you know, to get in the ring and work.
Yeah.
So.
Let me ask you, Robbie, when you guys first got the opportunity to wrestle on a casino show, what was that like for you guys to, you know, walk out and, you know, have, you're used to the school shows, but having that big crowd reaction to you guys, what was that like for you?
It was amazing. Like you said, we were doing the school shows, like a few Future Shocks, and then we do the High Octane, but nothing was even comparable to doing that big Sam's Town match.
And Mondo, what was, you know, your feeling? You know, you're walking into the casino, you know that you're going to be going through the curtain in a couple hours. How do you get into that zone? How do you prepare your mind for, you know, being ready to go out there and deliver? Because you know that Joe is putting a lot of faith into you guys by putting you on those shows.
Well, usually more nervous than we are for other matches. You know, sometimes before I get out there, I'm pretty nervous, especially the big Sam's Town shows, because, you know, when I first moved here, I saw one, and I always wanted to be in one. So when I finally was in one, I was like, all right, this is about to finally happen. And I saw how much people were there. It was a really big crowd, and I was just super excited. Then, you know, the music hits. And as soon as our music hits, all the nervousness always goes away, like, immediately. And I remember just walking out there and being super pumped. I even think in the video, if you watch it back, you see me losing my – just going nuts. Just pretty excited to be there. But it's always – the Sam's Town matches are always a really fun experience that I feel like a lot of wrestlers don't get to experience, like on an indie level, you know what
right.
I mean? And it's like great. And I know a lot of people watch FSW when they see that, they want to be here. I'm sure a lot of people hit up Joe trying to get booked, and it's a lot of times too because they want to be on those shows.
Yeah, everybody wants to be on that show. Of course they do. You guys pay me to be on that show.
You know, Mondo has recently shall we say, graced the Twitch network that you guys have with a little program that he's doing where he does movie reviews. Joe, I want to put you on the spot, and would you be a reviewer of Mondo's show?
No, because I haven't watched it. What do you think? I'm too fucking busy. You know, I'm going to sit there and Twitch for hours a day. His show, Primo's show. I've seen some clips of Primo's show. You know, I heard they did funnel cakes the other day. You know, so I was in the office and I heard Mondo was reviewing some movie that nobody in the world watched. So it's like, what the fuck? At least review something. You know, did you review Freaky yet?
No, I haven't. Yeah. I'll get to that one.
You know, it's like you got to review shit people want to see. The obscure 1998 Toxic Avenger movie or something. Isn't it like a horror movie thing?
Yeah.
Well, Freaky's a horror movie with Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
It's got Freaky Friday.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Thank you. I'll check it out.
You know, I don't want to have to take over and do the horror movie review show. You know what I mean? I got a lot of things going on.
What, Vando, what was the concept behind that? Who came up with it? And is this something that you've been kind of, you know, naturally doing for, you know, a while, where you had the opinions on films that you would watch and talk to them with, you know, about them with friends? Or, you know, what happened to make this become a reality?
Well, I didn't even have like any plans or intentions of doing anything like this at all. I enjoy watching movie reviews, and I'm always watching wrestling or horror movies. That's like my two favorite things that I always watch. And I'm always telling my friends about movies they should watch. And eventually Ben from The Office and a few other people were telling me, you should just do movie reviews. We're trying to do a network for FSW. You should do movie reviews. And I was like, what? You think people watch that? And I was like, all right, I'll do it. So, you know, we got the green screen up and I started doing it. And I actually started getting into it because I started, you know, doing a lot of my research on these movies. And I started learning a lot about some classic films and things like that.
So what should I watch? What's a good movie? What do you recommend for me to watch?
Alien.
I saw that when I was 14 years old, 40 years ago.
What else I got?
New? You got anything new? You know, I got Netflix. I got Amazon. I got HBO Max now.
I really like The Hole in the Ground and Spiral. Those are both pretty cool.
Never heard of them.
They're new. They just came on Amazon.
That's what I'm saying. So I'll have to check it out. There you go. Watch it this week, Matt. That way I can say whether Mondo's a good movie reviewer or not.
I love it. I love it. That's homework for anyone listening as well. Take a watch and see if you agree or disagree with Mondo.
Man, I watch so many shows and movies. Plus, now I assume with this going on, more people are not going out. So they got to watch movies and shit. Yeah. You know, never used to watch subtitle movies or shows. Now I watch a bunch of them. There's some pretty good ones. You like out The Stranded. It's made in time.
Yeah, I've heard good things about that. I want to definitely watch that one. Robbie.
You know, hopefully it'll have a better ending than Lost, though. You know what I mean?
Right. God.
Worst fucking ending ever. Yeah. Ever. Almost as bad as my bad beat yesterday with the Cleveland Browns taking a safety with 2 seconds left.
Oh, shit. Oh, no. Well, you know, we talked a little gambling there, a little movie review. Robbie, what would be your hidden talent or show if you were to do something for the FSW network?
I actually was approached by Ben. He wanted to do like more of like a almost like a DIY kind of series. Like a
what do you do?
Like a probably more like making costumes or clothing or gear.
Sure.
As you saw, I don't know if you saw the Halloween Battle Royal. I actually made my own Hurricane costume, and then I made Mondo's Shawn Michaels costume.
There's a lot of money to be made in that business.
Yeah.
Oh, seriously, check out Robbie's Instagram. The costume work was fucking phenomenal. I literally had to take like two or three looks. Because I thought at first it was like Hurricane had showed up at FSW or something. Because it made no sense to me. I'm like, what the? And then when I realized it was you, it was like, holy shit, that's a lot of talent, brother.
Thank you.
Absolutely, man. And people, check it out. And if you start hitting Robbie up, you know, hey, listen, everyone's got to make a little money during this pandemic, right? So reach out to Robbie, see if he can, you know.
Yeah, they got dues to, they got dues to pay, right, Mondo?
Yeah. Always catching up on dues.
You know, speaking of that, and that's something that I'm very familiar with because I had to pay my dues back in the day. How is that for you guys? You know, you guys are young guys. You know, you're trying to make it as wrestlers, but obviously you have to pay a little bit to train, and you have to also eat and keep a house, you know, a cover over your head. How's that been during this time, trying to balance everything out?
Well, I mean, I work a 9-to-5 from home, so okay, that's made it kind of easy. I work at home, and when I get off, I go to the gym and training. So my schedule's kind of been pretty set for me. I feel like I'm very fortunate for that.
Yeah.
So.
What about you, Robbie?
Well, he works from 9-to-5 at home, but he's sitting on the Zoom call for 2 hours. So, you know, is he getting his pay docked today?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, shit. Sorry about that, man. I'll kick you an extra $10 next time I see you.
You're good.
Just send it to me.
Yeah. That's...
Just give it to Joe.
He owes it anyway. Just send it to me.
Yeah, I think what we'll have to do is anyone out there who wants to start a GoFundMe for Sky High's dues, we can set that up. Robbie, how have you been making ends meet?
Really just balancing my money and, you know, trying to, you know, not spend money on stuff that, you know, I don't necessarily need. I really just need the gym, wrestling, and food.
Sure. As we kind of get ready to wrap up here, what was the, who designed, or what was the inspiration behind the, merchandise that you guys have, which people can definitely get at prowrestlingtees.com. Who's designing it? I know, Robbie, I think you got the design behind you is the new shirt, right? Yeah, and you're wearing it too.
Yeah. Target's lock design. It's one of our catchphrases.
Yeah.
That we have in wrestling. We had our friend do the design.
Yeah, it's awesome. And also on the Pro Wrestling Tees site, Mondo, you got your the Mondo Rock shirts. Who came up with the diamond design? Because that's pretty freaking awesome.
Oh, the wings are, I actually have those tatted on my back. And nice. The diamond was, because when I first started doing the pilot thing, I was aiming for like a diamond in the sky kind of thing. And I came up with that logo, and then I loved the logo, so I just kind of stuck with it.
It's pretty cool. I got to say the Mondo Pride shirt was, you know, I look at that and I go, that's pretty fucking beautiful.
Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do encourage people, if you haven't checked out their merchandise, please do so, because not only does it help support Sky High, we're also assuming that some of that portion will get kicked to Joe. So,
yes, hey. Very important. Make sure you buy it.
Where do you guys see yourselves in, let's say, 2 to 3 years? What do you guys expect to accomplish?
Well, right now we're just trying to keep training and keep trying to work better tag teams, and FSW is a good place for us to do that. And we're just really trying to get more experience, because we're in the next couple of years, we want to get a tryout somewhere, and we want to be physically fit and ready for that. And we don't want to spend 10 years just, you know, coasting. So we're already on our, I'm 3.5 years in, and Robbie's 3 years in. So I feel like right now is the appropriate time to start getting, you know, tryout ready. So that's really what we're focused on right now.
And Joe, what's your thoughts about, you know, their level of readiness for something like a, you know, TNA tryout or ROH, again, if, you know, things start getting back to normal.
See, the thing is, it's disappointing because you know, from March till now and till probably next March, April, May, June, you know, all these guys that were improving and getting better and getting these matches, you know, these young guys have missed out, you know, 8 months, you know, that's what, 9 months, that's almost 40 weeks.
Yeah.
In 40 weeks of wrestling, you know, that might be 100 matches that those guys have not gotten to put under their belt. And 100 matches from now, how good can not only Sky High, but everybody who puts in the time and effort be? Yeah, it's great to go to training, and it's great to do the practice matches. That's the one great thing about the FSW school is every day that those guys go there, there's so many good talents that they can work with and they can improve with. As we talked, Damian Drake and Matt Vandegrift and Lacey Ryan, they're there all the time. You know, how do you not get better working with people who've been doing it for an extremely long time?
Yeah.
You know, and unfortunately, this stunts people's growth. You know, they may have been ready, you know, in March when Ring of Honor came back out, or in September, or when Impact that was going to be out here, because we do have D'Lo there. If D'Lo sees something, if they need somebody, that's also the great thing about the school is we have people that are already in place. So if D'Lo, who was one of their original trainers, sees something in these guys, they're going to get that opportunity. And they may miss out on that opportunity, A, because nobody's running shows and Impact's not here, and B, they have so many less matches that they would have had all this shit didn't go down.
Right.
And, you know, they're young. You know, it's cool. You know, they'll get their time, but it's like they should have had that opportunity already. And, you know, we go back to the beginning of the conversation about, you know, what's going on with the COVID and how everything has stopped, you know, in a lot of other businesses and fields. You know, if you're a movie actor, they're making a million movies now.
Yeah.
You know, there's things. If you are a baseball player, a football player, a basketball player, they're still going. You know, boxers, MMA, every week, you know. But unfortunately, wrestling is just a small area that's able to consistently run. Like, I see Sin getting booked, and it's like, oh, he's in Alabama. He's in Arkansas.
Right.
And it's just some smaller states that are having wrestling. And and Texas, of course, because Texas don't give a fuck. They'll run no matter what. You know, there'll be an apocalypse, and they'll still have a show. But it's just tough because, yeah, these guys could be ready for that Impact tryout, you know. When I saw Matt Vandegrift a few years ago, I knew the potential was there. And when we did the AAA tryout, you know, I put him against Damian Drake because I thought they would have a really good match. They did, and they both got used on AAA shows, and now they're working as a tag team there also.
Yeah.
So all you need is an opportunity, and it's tough when there are no opportunities to get. So if there's no opportunities, how do you make that next step? And, you know, hopefully, you know, in the next month or two, we can at least start doing things again, and maybe, you know, not as big. Like, I'm hoping that we can be back at, say, a Samstown for our anniversary show in May or June, and that's really disappointing.
Yeah.
To know that it's still 6 months away, maybe, you know. I hope this vaccine's great and it works and everybody's good. Then we can go back to fucking normal life, you know.
Yeah.
I'm 55. I don't want to wait 5 years. I could be dead in 5 years.
That's a very good point. You know, the stunt of growth in terms of, like you said, they're young guys, but you're trying to be a professional wrestler. And that word professional means this is your livelihood. This is your profession. And you're right. It's taking, you know, months at a time out of someone's career. And that's just, it's just fucking horrible, especially if you, like you said, you could go to Texas or you could go to Florida and you could work there. Why can't you work here? And, you know, same thing, you know, with California.
The thing is, it's like, you know, we're still running. We were running, you know, here and there, but people from Vegas who go work elsewhere, you know, 20% is Arizona and 80% is California.
Yeah.
And California's in a worse situation than us on what they're allowing to do.
Yeah.
You know, even Marquez kind of shut down things because they were doing empty arena stuff.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, that's, you know, the thoughts moving forward, you know, we're going to take the next couple of weeks and, you know, see what we got to do, you know, whether it's doing live events on Twitch with no fans and maybe the fans contribute kind of like to what they did with GCW on a show that did amazing.
Yeah.
You know, over $15,000. That's fucking phenomenal. You know, I'd be happy if we raised a couple thousand.
Sure.
You know, get paid, you know, we could pay some bills and, you know, it's definitely something to look toward as we have to figure out things to keep this business afloat or there is no business.
Right. Final question for you guys. You know, Joe, mentioned D'Lo working for Impact, and I know that you guys started training at the Snake Pit. Did Sky High come from D'Lo because of the fact that it was his finishing move?
Yeah, for the most part. We thought the name, we were trying to come up with a cool tag team name and going off the aviation thing, and we just liked how Sky High kind of rolled off the tongue. And D'Lo did help us out with a lot of stuff, and he's the one that taught me how to do my splash.
Nice.
So we thought it was cool to give it to that name to our tag team off him, you know?
I don't believe D'Lo Brown showed you how to do the splash by doing it himself at this point.
Yeah, he just told me to go up there and jump off, actually.
Before we wrap up today's episode, Joe, I had a question from DJ Impact last night that he asked me to throw out your way. And the Impact on Tuesday, right before Kenny Omega's announcement or interview with Callis, they had a match. It was Swan and Willie Mack versus Moose and Chris Bay. And DJ Impact, like, I think his mind just exploded when Josh Matthews actually mentioned that Chris Bay was Future Stars of Wrestling, you know, alumnus. And I know that you guys have the working relationship, and D'Lo, of course, works for Impact. But DJ Impact wanted to know, what does that do for you in terms of, did you A, hear that? Did anyone tell you that, you know, you were mentioned? And B, how does it feel to know that most wrestling shows, they don't give much background to the guys or credit to other companies, and yet FSW gets a really nice mention during a really good match?
Well, like you said, you know, we have a good working relationship with Impact. It started before Impact, it started with Global Force Wrestling.
Yeah.
Which was Sanjay Dutt and Jeff Jarrett. When those guys moved on to Impact, I kept the relationship with Sanjay. That's how we did the tryout. So then I became more friendly with Scott D'Amore, who is the president of Impact. We put together a tryout for them. We did two. They did very well from the tryout. You know, they gave a lot of opportunities to people, and they really made Vegas their second home. So they also ended up signing Kevin Cross. They signed Brian Cage. You know, those are guys that have that FSW background. They signed Chris Bay. And then I remember when they contacted, I was contacted by the Reno Scum. When they were first making their run there, they were FSW Tag Team Champions.
Yeah.
And they were asked if they could have the belts there. And Unfortunately, they weren't our really good new belts. That's AFSW. They were the generic shit belts. But that's when it started. They were like, hey, you know, this is the Reno scum, blah, 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 current FSW tag team champions. And that was great. Believe me, anytime you're mentioned, you're always going to hear about it.
Right.
You know, it is. It's a huge deal. It makes me extremely happy. What does it do for us? Well, what it does is for people who don't know who we are, because, you know, the first 3 years, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, whatever of FSW, you know, we were that gem. You know, we were known a lot in Vegas. We were known in Arizona. You know, we were known in California. But as time grew, because so many of our talent, and I'm not talking about just guys who trained with us, because it's never going to be a ton of guys. It's always going to be, you're going to get some guys that sign. But the talent pool of what we had when an Eli Drake got signed there and Brian Cage went there and the Reno Scum were there. There was so many guys that FSW, there'd be 20 guys from FSW in a locker room for Ring of Honor, for Impact.
Right.
So now, by what they post and things like that, you know, there's a guy, Brad Reeder, out of New York.
Yep.
Brad buys every T-shirt, the Funko Pops that we had across in Hammerstone. And this guy really supports wrestling. And he's a huge fan of FSW, and he lives in New York. You know, he met Eli Drake with a Royce Isaacs shirt on. You know, that much he's really into that independent wrestling. And it's unbelievable to see those fans being aware of who you are.
Yeah.
And shows where you know, when we started at the Rancho Swap Meet, to how many people put over FSW as, wow, what a great promotion. Wow, they use such really good people. And it really is amazing, because we use, as good as Warrior Wrestling and all these companies are, they're bringing in talent while we're using our own talent.
Right.
You know, it's a big difference. You know, Warrior Wrestling has unbelievable shows. They're like our Mecca shows.
Right.
But Warrior Wrestling has no homegrown talent. They bring in superstars. When we have Mecca, we bring in superstars, but half the card is our born bred superstars, whether it's Hammerstone and Bay and Cross and Sepha and Brian Cage and John Morrison that we used numerous times and Willie Mack. There's so many guys, you know, obviously a John Morrison I wouldn't count as an FSW talent. He did work a bunch of shows. But so many of these guys that have gone on to recognition, you know, nobody knew who Keith Lee was until he showed up at FSW.
Yeah.
And you know, really made people aware, especially on the West Coast, because Keith Lee might have worked a couple of PWG shows, whatever. But Brian Cage put him over to me. I put him in a match. And, you know, after that match, people were like, holy shit, who is this guy? He's fantastic. And, you know, that's what we look to do, to find that next future star of wrestling, you know, and whether that, you know, becomes a Damian Drake and Matt Vandergriff who've, you know, gotten some national recognition. You know, in 1 week, Damian Drake worked, you know, Impact, Ring of Honor, you know whatever it was.
Yep.
And all these young guys, whether it's Sepha Fatu, whether it's Shogun, whether it's Hero Lou, whether it's Sky High, you know, the Suavecitos, baby, you know, whoever it is, you know, they're get to be seen. You know, I'm pretty sure Sky High. Didn't you guys work the Unguided at Mecca?
Yeah.
You know, so they got their first taste, unfortunately, you know, because of the start of the pandemic. You know, that place was packed, but we had a lot of cancellations. you know, with Matt Hardy going to be there and stuff. But, you know, working the anniversary show, that was probably the biggest crowd in Las Vegas wrestling in 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, we had almost 1,000 people. It drew more than Brian Cage, Matt Hardy at the TLC match in 2014.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're getting some pay-per-view buys now from people. It was like, wow, we got 5 buys from England, of all places, you know? And like, they, in a lot of cases, they might not know who we are, but then they saw the lineup and they saw the card and it was like, wow, this is some really good talent. So, you know, we just strive to get out there and, you know, and we're also willing to play second fiddle. When Impact comes to town, Joe DeFalco's the grunt guy. I'm the guy talking to Samstown. I'm the guy talking to anybody. I remember I was getting ready to leave early one time at Impact, and all of a sudden Scott D'Amore sends me a fucking text message. He's like, hey, bro, there's no stirrers for the coffee. And I'm like, what the fuck? Go ask somebody. So I have to, like, now go and find stirrers for the fucking coffee. And I'm the owner of FSW because ego-wise, I'm doing whatever it takes. Impact takes care of us to help them out. So we do whatever is necessary to make sure that down the line, if we need something, if we want something, we know we can go to them and say, hey, you know what? Give Chris Bay a shot. Give Hammerstone a shot. And then having D'Lo in the corner, you know, we were able to get matches for a bunch of our guys.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how working relationships work. You know, I want to be the best, but I also understand that when Ring of Honor comes to town, yep, we're going to help you for little to no money, but we're going to get our people into the building, talking to people, watching a national promotion, getting the opportunity to have a conversation with Jay Lethal. And having Kenny there, it's an easy transition.
Yeah.
You know, I'm pretty friendly with a lot of these guys. So, and that's just because not only it's working hard, but it's willing to go above and beyond what you're getting paid.
Yeah.
It's what you're doing to help them. How can you assist them? And, you know, they respect me for that, and I appreciate it.
And, with that note, as Mondo, you looks like you're putting him to sleep. final question for you guys, and you know, there are so many opportunities with ROH and Impact, New Japan, AEW, NXT, MLW, NWA. What would be your guys' your dream scenario? What company would you guys really like to work for?
Well, we love WWE since we're kids, so that's like our top like goal. But I mean, aiming for that and anything that's on the way there would be amazing. It's like, you know, anything is better than where we're at right now. And we'll get experience and we'll, you know, of course we're going to learn getting signed by some other company, but just getting signed would be awesome, you know? But we just love WWE since we're little. That's always been the main goal.
Good news, FSW is announcing that they have signed Sky High to work shows.
Well, you know, with that final thought, I actually hope that you guys do get signed in all sincerity. And then I also hope that the contracts are good enough that Mondo's back dues can finally get caught up.
Yes, yes, that's... you know, or give me 5% of future earnings. I'm willing to waive dues for that.
On that note,
yeah, that's the old Roland Alexander ploy.
Yeah,
Rick Bassman, your boy Bassman did that.
Yeah. Rick did
back end management.
Yeah, absolutely. And Rick would not only do that for wrestling itself, but you know, getting guys onto. He got John Cena onto Manhunter, which was a reality bounty hunter show. So, you know, God bless you guys. you know, being able to get that back end money. But obviously we joke and we kid a little bit because the relationship that you guys have with Joe is amazing. I really am impressed by your growth, guys. You know, just watching your work in class is amazing enough. You know, to get an opportunity to watch you guys just learn is great, because you really do put in the time and the effort, and it's translating to what you're doing in front of a crowd. And I just hope that you guys stick with it and don't lose sight of that dream, because you guys have the talent to, you know, get that contract with some company, and it's hopefully coming soon, you know, with the circumstances getting better, hopefully, in the country, and you guys get a little more exposure. It's, you know, it's just timing and opportunity, and you guys already have the preparation and skill. So, you know, keep it up, and I'm sure fans will follow you guys, you know, on your Twitter accounts and your Instagrams. Again, support these guys by going to ProWrestlingTees.com or hitting them up on DM to get some merchandise. FSW, again, please follow the Twitch channel. You know, the trying to, you know, finalize an idea for a network. So that's in the works. And again, YouTube is a great resource too for seeing some of the matches you guys might have not seen yet. If you're not familiar with Sky High or Future Stars Wrestling, really check it out on any of those platforms, including Fight TV. And, you know, it's just guys like Brad in New York is what makes this business really fun now, is because you can reach people all across this country and all across the world, and guys like you get the exposure because of that. And again, support Future Stars Wrestling, support Sky High, especially during this economic crunch that we're all kind of feeling. So if you have the means, please support, and support us. You know, check us out on Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. Download, save, review, share, all that good stuff. And until then, next time we'll see you around.